The following program does not necessarily represent the views and opinions of Reality Radio 101, its advertisers and sponsors, or its listening audience. Listener discretion is advised. Welcome to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101. Join our path to enlightenment with our guidance to living at your best with a path to a higher consciousness. To get on board right now, send us an email. Our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. And now, ladies and gentlemen, right to your host of Barrington Awaken, Barrington.
Hello, 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 and welcome. Thank you for joining us today. You know what the show is about, and if you're a brand new listener, you're about to hear. First, I want to thank everybody for sending in their emails. They have questions for me, and I try my best to get to them, and they've always made a comment as how they thought the show went. And this is for both shows, the Sunday show, as well as the Thursday night at 10 p.m. show. Same show repeated at that time. And people send in their emails. They send generally a hello and how they love the show. And I do thank you for doing that, and I take time from when I have a minute or two to answer all the emails, and I do get some questions from time to time. So I thank you for that. Welcome to the Barrington Show. What we do here is we raise your level of consciousness, raise you up to a higher level of consciousness to get you to live your prime life, to let you understand that the time that you spend on this planet, no matter how long or short it is entirely yours and not to be necessarily shared or have somebody manipulate or tell you how to live it, to live your life. Too often, we tend to want to go out and fix other people because we think they're broken. Now, this is just a selfish way of saying we're convincing you that our lives are better than yours, and this is just very wrong. Welcome to the show. We're going to raise you up to a higher level of consciousness. I want you to understand that you are the top shelf. The decisions that you make, they're for you. And the where you are today is a direct result of the decisions you may have made some time ago. What you're aiming to do is to understand that you are God. This is hard for a lot of people to understand. A lot of people disagree with me on that. But the God that exists is you. You're looking externally for something to guide and protect you. All that is within you. Your focus on every level, internal. Look at what is within you. When we showed up here on this planet, we were fully equipped. We're fully equipped with all that is required for us to get through this life with what is the optimum goal of being happy. To set out your desire and be successful in achieving it. To realize that where you are the one who's responsible for getting you there. But most importantly, nobody is coming to rescue you. One of the things I say a lot, and this is the truth of life, is if you should one day find yourself in the middle of an ocean swimming and you see a giant fin coming towards you, please don't stop and pray to be rescued. You must put every single effort into escaping or whatever you can do at that point. But my point is, nobody is coming to rescue you. You are the one who's got your back. You need to understand that. A lot of people hate, despise, and I get these comments all the time in my emails as well as on the radio here, that we are not the God, and they still believe that there's a God elsewhere, whichever religion you may follow, whatever belief system you were raised with. You need to understand that the God that exists is you. The things that will happen in your life is a result of your own doing. Wake up to that reality. Wake up to understand that you're on the top shelf. Make the wise decision. Please don't look down on another person unless your intent is to help them with their permission. We don't see people doing what we're doing. We assume they're doing wrong, or it may seem right. We can't effectively determine the right or the wrong in that situation because we don't know their purpose. And often when somebody's guiding you or trying to get you to a better place, they too don't know their purpose. We are not to leave a hand out to those who is not asking for it. Wake up. Raise yourself to the higher, to a higher level of consciousness, and be mindful. And please accept the fact that the God that exists is you. I've said many times on the show, and people don't like me saying this, there is no up there or down there, as I would like to say, the HE double hockey stick place. Yes, there is no up there. There is no down there. We're just here. And believe it or not, we're just here for now. And then eventually we leave. We lay the body down. After the body is laid down, we move back to the corner in which we've come from, which is the spiritual world. We were taught, a lot of us were taught, that there is a up there, and if you humble yourself and be good, you'll have the opportunity to move into this eternal life and live happily ever after. And I don't know, hold hands and sing Kumbaya, I'm not sure. But there isn't an up there. The life as you know it is on earth. You got to look for yours on earth. It's here. Wake up to that reality. Thank you for joining the show. Thanks, everybody, for coming. We talk about what we normally talk about, and I just want you to understand you are the driver. You do have all the tools. What you desire in life, it only takes a thought, a second, for you to put it into motion to achieve it. All things are achievable, but first you must believe. You can prove all this existence of spirituality by opening the door for yourself. It could be proven. A method in which you can open, activate the chakras more so than they are now, or the pineal gland, or the third eye, if you want to call it that, is by understanding who you are and the spiritual existence that is a part of you. Wake up. When you get to this, if you want to ask why do we think the higher level of consciousness is necessary, why do we think we should live that way? Simply because that's how we were made. Somewhere along the line, somebody told us some stories and we forget about it and we start to live a different way. You can choose to do it. If you open the eye, if you open your life, if you move into a more spiritual existence and you practice your meditation, you don't have to follow it. If it doesn't satisfy you, you can always let it go like you have before, simply because you're not doing it now. Wake up. If you wanted to know if all of what we talk about in spirituality or on the show, and we talk about raising you to a higher level of consciousness, if you're curious and you do want to know or to experience it, that power is within you. That switch is within you. You just have to activate it and wake up. It is the only thing that is provable. I think the rest of them are saying, just come to us blind with blind faith and just believe it's true. We could do that for a lot of things, but that doesn't make it real. I introduce you to meditation. I had a good question this week on one of the questions that came in, and they're asking, what is the difference when you're meditating in opening, keeping your eyes open or closed? Well, because of our eyes and the things that we see, we're distracted easily. If you close your eyes, you make it, you're focusing yourself to meditate a lot easier by not being distracted by the eyes that's showing you things and giving you, make your thoughts run off or even create thoughts for you from things you're seeing. So if it's easier to close your eyes because you're blocking out, you're minimizing the distractions. I do it in a dark room. Sometimes I do it in a dark room with a lit candle and just take a look at the, watch the flame and focus on my meditation. Why do we meditate? It's to take us to the next level. It's to give the chatter that goes on in our brain a second to take a break and allow ourselves to not have a thought, which is very difficult, maybe impossible to do, but you could minimize the 1,000 you're going to get now and sort of just get two or three. When you do get a thought, as you will, do not follow it. Let it go and keep your mind focused. If you can hold that space for a second or 2 seconds or 2 hours, you're in meditative state. You're now connected to the world as we know it. The truth reveals itself to you. You're not preoccupied by thoughts, or I got to get the groceries, or I got to pick up milk, or oh, I have to pay a bill. You know, just allow yourself to relax as you would have if you were five, because you wouldn't have had those thoughts at five, and allow yourself the focus to go into the null, the nothingness. Just allow your brain to take a break. What you're doing in this state is you're meditating. So basically, and I've said this many times, not recently, but it's, imagine you are that jar with a lid on it. When you take the lid off, whatever was in the jar would expose itself to whatever was exterior to that jar. And our thoughts are pretty much the same. When we are focused on not thinking about anything, we allow ourselves just to be connected to the universe as it is. You know yourself. You know who you are. You get all the answers to all the questions you ever want to ask. And every question will have an answer, or there wouldn't have been the question. Allowing yourself to go into this bliss, no thoughts, relax. Lay down, stand up, sit down, however you're doing it, and you could do it. Any method, it's just about keeping the thoughts from running through the brain. That's our primary focus here. So we want you to get there as often as you possibly can. I suggest you do it just to warm up or get into it, or even try to understand it. One of the analogies I've used in the past is try to imagine you're looking through a tunnel of some sort, and you could see a moving object that flies past the entrance of the tunnel at the other side, like a swing of a pendulum, if you want to call it that. If you focus and you're in your midst of meditation, you'll see that object go by, but it's gone. And if you keep focus, you'll see it come back, and it'll swing and it'll swing. Eventually, it'll stop right in your path and you will see it. So imagine the pendulum swinging and eventually comes to a halt. Practicing your meditation is, you just unfortunately got to the view of it as it was in the momentum, the motion of swing. I hope you can understand what I'm trying to say. The more you meditate, the longer you meditate, the better you become at it, and the more tolerance you have and the ability to block out these thoughts, you will notice that the pendulum swing is slowing down. And eventually you get there easy. And you're now meditating. You're now spiritually awake. Your third eye is open, and you could see life as it's supposed to be seen. We're trying to get you there. So if you're going to close your eyes when you meditate, I think it'll be easier for you to get through. Now, I do hear a lot of people talking about their sounds, YouTube, vibrations, and all these things that could bring you to that level. I agree with it. I agree with some of it. There are certain sounds that makes the body relax. There's certain sounds that will make the mind calm down and get a little bit more stable so you could focus into doing it. I don't know if there's a sound that could put you into meditation or vibration that could put you into a state of meditation. I'm old school that way. I sit down, I focus, I practice my own meditation. When I tell people about it, I tell them my method, but I've always say you can find your own. Your dance is going to satisfy you best. Thank you for joining the show. Thank you for coming. You now know what we're talking about. People are always asking me why I don't believe there's a God. That's a misconception. I believe there's 7.6 billion gods walking around on this planet. And that's just the human beings. And all of what life is in everything that has the ability to have or contain life. There is a God, of course. He's you. He lives with you. He sees you. If you want to see him, get a good look at him, walk up to the mirror and take a look there. You'll see God. It's hard for you to understand because we were told something else. And trying to undo what we were told is impossible. It's hard. Pardon me. It's not impossible. It's difficult. But it's doable. If you have this ability and you're curious as to what your maximum life could be, the potential that you could reach, you need to understand who you are and know that all things are possible. We are super, super human. We're gods. And all the things that you know have been told about God, it's been told about you. That's what you need to know. And no, we can't fly around the world. And no, we don't have wings because we're not created that way. There's another being out there that has wings and they're flying or have fins and they're swimming. We have legs and we're walking. Some of us can run, but we're still God. This is hard for a lot of people to understand because most of them has been told from birth before they could talk that there's another God. It's a higher level of you. That's the difference. So I do get calls here or emails and people are challenging the fact that I say you are the God that exists. They're not willing to hear that. Most of us are still thinking somewhere we're going to be rescued. We're going to be saved. Somebody has got our backs. Do you honestly believe that? You are the God. The superpower of the human being, the man, and I mean that in mankind, everybody, you know, but the superpower that's within us, if we were just able to harness it and figure it out and utilize it, we will change the world. And the world is changing through technology and everything is happening. We evolve. We do a lot of great things. What fascinates me is that we've got so much technology out there, but we're sicker than we're very sick. We're not getting any better. We're not getting any better. All this advancement, yes, they could prolong life, but there's more illnesses today that we're aware of. I mean, they might have been there since day one. However, we're not getting any healthier. We're living longer with help, like walking around with a crutch, I guess. Anyway, back to my point, the superhuman being that you are, you can repair the broken parts of you, the emotionally broken parts, the afraid parts, all the things that make you sick, the depressive, especially the depression. If you are going through depression, focus some time on meditation. It just a giant broom sweeping up the depressive thoughts or whatever. If you are feeling depressed and down, practice some meditation. You're giving the brain a chance to slow down and allowing it to rejuvenate itself. If you can get to the point in life where you can open the third eye, we talked about that briefly last week. Activate your chakras. Open the pineal gland or get it activated. You will be living the way you're supposed to be living. You will be enjoying life the way you need to enjoy life. Some say ignorance is bliss. And I think those who are saying that probably agree with it. Those who know different. I mean, you know, if the more you know, that the more you think you want to learn, and it gets, I guess, more stressful. But then the more you learn is the more you're going to realize you don't need a lot of the things that we carry around to make us stress, to stress us out. Wake up is what we talk about. Welcome to the show. Thanks to everybody for joining in. I appreciate you being here. All the longtime listeners, as well as our new listeners, you're listening to Barrington on Reality Radio 101. We talk about awakening and we bring you to a higher level of consciousness. Please be alert. Understand that God does exist and it exists within you. Act accordingly. You are God. You just don't know it. Wake up. Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Barrington Show. Welcome to people nearby. Welcome to everybody around the world. Welcome home. Do we have...
Some emails that came in. Folks, if you're just tuning in, you are listening to Barrington Awaken with your host, Barrington. If you'd like to get on board, and you can send us a question, a comment, our email address is instudio101@gmail.com. That's instudio101@gmail.com. Rachel did that. Rachel says, as Barrington's been saying all afternoon here, she says, I still cannot believe I am a god. If I am a god, where are the powers that I should have? That's from Rachel. Millie wrote in, and she says, it really sounds like you hate Christianity. That's from Millie. All right. Serge wrote in, if we start to meditate, how much meditation do you think we should do per day as a beginner? That's from Serge. And lastly, Cody. Cody writes in, he says, Barrington, what the hell is a pineal gland? I hope it's not what I think. That's from Cody. And back to you.
Okay, Cody, I'm going to get to that. I don't know what you're thinking, Cody. This show is amazing. We do great things. Unfortunately, I don't have the ability to tap into what you're thinking, but it has nothing to do with a male member. It is a thing that's in everybody's head. It's in the center of the brain, and it resides somewhere behind the third eye. They say once it's activated, and there's many ways you could stimulate it, many ways you can activate it, and now you've given me a great idea for a show. We will dig into it a little bit deeper and explain it, and at times I go through all these things and I just assume some people know my mistake. I'm a horrible teacher. Please don't sue me. However, it's a pineal gland. It's in the center of the brain. And what it does, it focuses. They say, the experts, that this is how we connect ourselves to the world. This is how, like, if you wanted to say that's your receptacle that brings in the information into the physical body. Okay, but it's in the center of the earth, center of your brain, and it works as it would the third eye. If you caught the show last week, we talked about the third eye and its functionality. The pineal gland sits in the center of your brain, and it's kind of, you might want to say, and don't hold me to this, like it's the nucleus, right, of our existence. Everything that's going to come in will transfer itself through that. It's connected to the system that's there. If you caught the show on the chakras, I said there was seven. The sixth is in the middle of the forehead, and the seventh is just wee bit above the head. The communication between the two, because the sixth and the seventh doesn't have a physical connection. The seventh is like the aura. The sixth is connected to the body. The transfer in between the two would be through the pineal gland. Now, you might want to call this like a fuse or a breaker in your panel, if you understand that terms. All the power that comes into the house to make it function, make it work, actually passes through a breaker. Several breakers in your house are fuses, if you want to say that, and it then, you know, distributes throughout. So imagine the current coming from wherever it comes from, comes into the main source of the house, and then it's distributed on what we call branch circuits through different parts of the house. Same concept falls true if we were talking about the chakra and the energies that come in, the transfer, the tunnel that brings it in would be coming through the center of the brain, the top of the head, the pineal gland. I hope that answers your question, and I will make a note to do a little bit more on that, because it's a very interesting thing. And if you can open the third eye, there's a lot of information I see on YouTube. I don't know if I agree with, actually, I don't agree with all of them. I do know that. But it does talk about connecting and opening the third eye. And all of this is for the betterment of people, for us to live easier, healthier. And I want everyone to figure out how to open their third eye so you can figure out how to repair the illnesses that will come into the body and reduce the stresses and all these things that comes into you. That's a gift to you, where you need to say to yourself, I owe me. I'm here. I want to do this. I want to figure out how to do this. I want to get this done. You're going through a journey from start to finish, and you're carrying a million pounds of unnecessary luggage. Why don't we just figure out what those are and let them, set them free, burn them, throw them off a cliff. Give them to the neighbors. Anyway, moving on. So I hope you understand that, Cody. And it's not, I don't know what you're thinking, but it's something that's in the middle of the head. It's very tiny. It's a very, if you can imagine a TikTok, chiclets, I think. It's a little tiny candy. That's what I'm trying to remember. And I don't remember it right now. Hey, Serge, you were asking about how much meditation you should do to begin with. Now, this is to do with a lot of people. If you're an antsy person who's up and fidgety and you can't sit still and you're running around, it's going to be very hard for you to buckle down right away. You have to get rid of that chatter. You have to calm down. You have to let yourself, get used to the idea of meditating. So for you, it's going to be a little different, or for anybody, depending on their temperament, their moods, whatever they're doing, it will be a little different for them. And time-wise, now, if you are a connected person, you understand spirituality, and you know of the existence of, the third eye, the pineal gland, you know all these things, you're already on the ball field. You're already on the ball field, so you know where you're going. So you're going to be two steps away from getting in the game, if you know what I mean. But if you have no concept of the ball game, what's happening, you're not even in the neighborhood, let alone even knowing what a stadium is, it means that you don't know what anything about spirituality or acknowledging that spirituality exists. It might take a little bit more time for you to get up to speed. You have to learn the sports and then perfect it and eventually play it and, show other people how to play it and so on and so forth. I'm using this very weird analogy, but I'm trying to say, answering Serge's question, how much meditation? You will know. And if you're the type who could sit still, give it all you got. Don't burn your toast while you're doing it. But get on the idea of practicing it. And it's like anything else. When you're going to start running, you don't get up and run 10K. You probably get up and run like I do, just around the block, or that's enough. But eventually you will get that statutiveness, or to go and do it and do it and do it. It becomes your life. And the more you're on the track of learning meditation and understanding the concept of meditation, the easier it becomes, and it will be a part of your everyday life. I made a conscious decision years ago to change the food that I eat, and it was hard. It was very hard. And you cheated when no one was looking. That's normal, because we all do that, I think. Anyway, eventually, as you practice doing it, you merge into that lifestyle. Well, yeah, you can have a carrot for dinner with a piece of broccoli and you're not grossed out by it. At the thought of it right now, you're probably thinking, oh my God, really? When you get to understand it, everything about you adapts to the message you're trying to send. So is it to get involved with that relationship partner? Is it to get involved with a thinner side of you, a bigger side of you, a promotion at work, a happier side of you, a healthier side of you? You put that thought in your mind, inevitably your body is gingerly walking towards it. And I say all this, how much time is required? Just to answer Serge's question, I would recommend, just for you to get familiar with it, give it 6 minutes a day, 3 in the morning, 3 before you retire at nighttime or whenever you retire. Extend that 3 to 6, and then you're doing 12 a day. At some point, I remember doing 3 hours a day, I'd wake up early, early in the morning and do an hour and a half before I went to work. I felt fantastic. But then all of a sudden I was losing a lot of sleep, so I couldn't do it. And then I try to do it before I go to bed. Now, the more it's on your mind, the more it's on your plate, the more you get used to it and it becomes a part of your life. If you're passing down the road and you see somebody sitting on the park bench meditating, you're probably thinking, what a kook. But you have no idea where that person is. You're seeing their body. You're not seeing their mind. Meditate, set up a time. I think a good 3 to 5 minutes if you can. And the best thing is first thing in the morning, that's when you're better. That's your best. But at the end of the day, if you could do it again, you relieve the stress that you may have accumulated today. Like you have a shower at the end of your day, right? So you get your you clean up, get rid of the smoke, get rid of, you know, there are incenses out there that smells, fragrance, sounds that will clear the air for you. They're available. You light a set of incense sticks, it burns the negative. I remember somebody said to me this week that I don't get why you need to do that every day. And I said, you probably don't. But do you think you need to have a shower every day? Some don't. So again, it's to your level. And I'm going a long way to understand, to answer the question. But you do you and hope that you get on this path. Hey, Millie, I'm not really sure. I was raised Christianity. I still follow the majority of my family. Actually, most of my family is still deep into Christianity. I have stepped out. I became Muslim. I studied the Torah. I learned Hinduism. I studied a lot and learned a lot of different languages. Sorry, religions, not language. I barely can speak one. So the religion that I gathered all the years around told me that they're all the same. We're speaking, communicating, just in a different language, but it's the same thing. I'm not quite sure what I may have said that would have told you that I hate Christianity. Hate's a very strong word, and it's more detrimental to you, the hater, than it is the hated. So try not to use hate. It's just wrong. You hate, you know, you may, intolerance, I think, is probably a better word. But no. To answer your question, Millie, I do not hate Christianity. I don't hate anything, I don't think. I don't like being cold, but that's a totally different show. Okay. So I have the question here. And Rachel wanted to know if she is a god, where's all the superpower that she possessed? Where's the power? Where's the strength? Where's the godlike capability? So my first question would be, what is God's capability and what has he proven to you? What you've got that is your superpower is the ability to send this email to me. I think that's awesome. You know, or listen to the radio or get up tomorrow morning and run or go, whatever you do throughout your day. I think you're a genius for the way you stay alive and you stay safe. What kind of superpower do you want above that? The ability, if you are a working person, to create the funds to sustain life, to exist in this planet. How great is that? To love, to laugh, to appreciate everything. We're talking about Rachel. It seems as if you're standing in the middle of the ocean wondering where the heck is the ocean. Explore it. Just look around. It's everywhere. What is your superpower? Wow. I think it'd be best if you were to email me to tell me what you've acknowledged about your superpower, because your superpower is everything. The ability to hear what I'm saying and have an opinion or do. That is your superpower. I'm sorry you can't fly, but you have the means to do some work to get some money to buy a plane ticket that could make you fly. How great is that? Count our blessings is what we need to do, and a lot of people overlook that. Be thankful that you have the ability to move around, to have love, to have family, to have all these fantastic things. Count your blessing. I don't know if Rachel was open to have wings, or, you know, the ability to snap her fingers and make things magically appear, like the television tells us all the time. Your superpower is you. Your superpower is the ability to be you and the ability to change all the things that are about you, to change your mind, to create, maybe to conduct a life or run a family or do music, learn a new instrument, play an instrument, learn a new language. Your superpower is you. I'm sad to know that you don't realize that, but you're still in the march and you're still able to gather all that you can. Make fun, make haste while you're young, and create all the good things. Learn who you are, stand up and appreciate life. Love life, because it could be taken away within a second. And the sad realities are we don't know when that second is coming. So what's beneficial is for you to enjoy the dance now. But we'll pay the piper later. Your superpower is you, and that's for everybody. You are the superpower. This is why you are the God. I hope that answered your question. I don't know if it's going to give you any more comfort, because you're still going to believe that there is another person out there who's acting as your God. But you are your own God, and you are your own creator, and you have the right and the abilities to make what you want out of life. And occasionally you'll see an episode of a movie or something about somebody who just decided to get up and make that change. Or they've come from the bottom and they've risen up to the top because they were determined to become that. I was watching, I don't know if you've ever seen the James Brown show, the James Brown movie. And it showed where he's come from, where he started his life, and how unfortunate it seemed at the time. But now that he's made it the Godfather of Soul, you can see that that was a blessing for him, not realizing it at the time. I say all of this to say, just because you're standing in a bucket of bad stuff doesn't mean this is the end of it for you. It's giving you an idea. It's the lesson you got to pick up on and learn and figure out what your vehicle for your journey needs to be. We're talking today, and then we touched on the idea of trying to fix people. We see somebody out there who's not doing life the way we're doing it. Probably better, or probably worse, but definitely different. So we take that observation and we label it. And we say, well, poor bastard, or sorry about your luck. And we do all these things because we're just too busy thinking that our lives is better. Why do we think it's better? Because it looks better. You have more stuff. You're in a better part of town. You've got a better car. I don't understand that better. Because what you choose for yourself is where your comfort level is. And I was making a comment the other day. My business works for a lot of people in the very high end. And I work with them. And of course, I'm at the very low end because that's how my life is. And is it better? It's different. I don't know if either one of us would change our chairs and say, you take this, I'll take that. We're living the life we want to live. We're living the life, and we have the ability to create the life we could create. So when we see somebody who's not doing life the way we're doing it, it's very unfair to that person for us to cast judgment. It's very unfair for that person. Egocentric on our part, because we just assume betterness. Well, as you know, if you know me, you'll understand that I don't understand better. Because you have to know, you have to be in this man's shoes or person's shoes to clearly determine the better. And it comes down to understanding that person's opinion. Take two pieces of artwork and tell me which one is better. Or is it just the one you like the most? Take two songs and play them and tell me which one is better. Or is it just the one that sounds more appealing to you? Take two beer and do the same thing. Because somebody out there likes it. We have this saying we use, I'm going to try to translate it, but it won't make a lot of sense. But it means that there's a stick for every broom. There you go. There's a stick out there for every broom. There's a person out there for everybody. There is a love interest out there for everyone. Every broom has its own stick. But you can't say one is better than the other. We don't have the right to tell another how their life should be. The time that is allotted to you, be it 1 year, 50 years, 100 years, it is still your time. And you don't have the right, you can't take another person's time unless you're using them to make fortune for you or whatever the case may be. But that time starts and it stops when it's supposed to, and it belongs to you. Somebody's going to try to tell you how to live it and spend it. Spend your currency. Somebody's going to tell you how to do it. But it's yours. What I do suggest is that you learn how to get the most out of that time. At the best health possible. Live as best as you can without hurting others. Because there is a karma paid. There's a debt to be paid through karma. So find your path. And live your best life. And it doesn't necessarily mean a lot of stuff that you will have to lay down one day and walk away from it, because the Brinks won't follow you into the next life. Wake up. Wake up and understand that once you learn how to do, how you get into spirituality, you're connecting yourself to nature's way of life, the way it was intended. You learn to listen to yourself, your higher level of consciousness, which is the guide that gets you through journeying through. If you want to call that the God, that's fine. But where you stand and the higher level of consciousness, which is totally awoken and alert, will guide you through life. But that's you. That is the higher, most conscious you that is telling the unconscious or the unawoken person how to get through or journey through life. Everybody that exists out there has what we call duality. Almost like there's two of you, and I'm not suggesting you're schizophrenic or bipolar. I'm simply saying that your makeup has a guide. When you're incoherent, the second person steps up and guides you through safety. If you were drowning, if you're starving yourself to death, if you're going to do a lot of hurt, that voice of reason will say, hey, knock it off. Straighten up and fly right. Check yourself. You're tipping or your skirt's hanging low. Okay? That's the observer. That is the observer. That's the one that has your back. But that's you. Or if you feel better, you can call it God. But again, I would always say, when a dog has a puppy, the puppy is also a dog. So if we're created in his image, that's what they say, his, not my words, then we're him. Wake up. Wake up to that reality. Being a spiritual existence is the journey through life in which we need to take. It's the path in which we need to walk on. Why? So we can understand it. Definitely, it enlightens you and teaches you what your purpose is supposed to be. where you become more tolerant of all things that are part of this earth, appreciating the fact that you are part of the great wave of life. You are connected to all that there is. You are connected to the person across the street, in the cubicle next to you, the one in the back of the bus, wherever that is you, unremoved. Every part of you, as well as every part of that other human being, was created by every element that exists in this planet. Therefore, that is you. Your twin may look different. Maybe it's your diet, your culture, your geographical location, but that person is you. We're all connected. We're a product of this land. So is everyone else you meet. Is it possible that you're better? If you can answer that question, maybe you can tell me that the right hand's better than the left, or the pinky is better than the thumb, or the mouth is better than the butt. No, it's not possible. It's all a part of. Yes, the mouth can say the butt is smelly, but the butt can say, well, you are the ones why you're the cause of my being smelly. You know what I mean? You could say that, weird analogy, but you could say that if you want to. You could say you're smelly, or you're bad, or you're dirty, or you're whatever. That's what the mouth can say. And the other part will say, well, you are the cause of it. If you didn't put that in your system, I wouldn't have to react to it. Wake up. It's an analogy. Please understand it. Do we have anything else, sir?
Yes, we have a couple of emails here. Alina wrote in, and she says, love your advice today. I'm taking notes. That's from Alina. Thank you, Alina. Ron said, I look forward to that penile gland show. Since I really don't know anything about that, that would be an interesting topic. That's from Ron. Fisher wrote in. Let's see. I believe in telling other people how to live their lives when they are doing stuff wrong and can hurt themselves or someone else. I give them advice to stay on the straight and narrow. That's from Fisher. Josh says, it sounds like you grew up with a lot of people telling you how to live your life, and you have a lot of resentment in that. That's from Josh. And Nathan wrote in and said, the karma that we have in our lives, who controls it if it's good or bad, if we are our own God? And that's Nathan. And back to you.
Nathan, on the karma side, good and bad is relevance to opinion. I've always said that, and I'll continue to say it. You determine if it's good or right or wrong. A lot of people say killing somebody is bad, but I would say if he's trying to kill me, then I'm doing good. So how do you split that apple? Anyway, so who's in charge of your karma? It is the guilt, and if you feel bad about it, you're bringing on a payback on yourself. If you have a conscience, which we all do, we just don't activate it, most of us. But the karmatical debt needs to be paid back no matter what. So if you take from others, you'll have to repay that debt. How it's being paid, I don't know. Is it while you're still in the physical body? I am not 100% sure. But I do know once you exit the physical body and you're trying to return into spiritual world, you have to go through purification, clean up all that. All the BS we see on earth comes about because we have a physical body. Okay, we're not punching at each other because we don't have hands in the spiritual world, or taking from each other, or even worse, lying to one another because we don't have those capabilities. Once you take on the body could create all these things for you. It now becomes tangible, and you could touch and feel and do all these things, or you become that ruthless killer if you wanted to, or that lover, that great music and music person, or the sports player, whatever. You have this thing. So you take all of that on. Simply because you have a body. When you lay the body down, it's all gone. Who's in charge of our karma? You are. And if you're feeling bad about it, you know you're going to pay for it. It's the boomerang effect. Who's in charge? There isn't nobody up there keeping tally. I was raised, and I'm going to get into that about the person asking me about my resentment. I was raised Sorry, let me go back to finish off Nathan's comment here about the karma. It's like a boomerang effect. You see, if you throw that boomerang out there, you better duck because it's coming back towards you. And it's a negativity. Or I always say, if you're going to dig a pit, dig two because one belongs to you. If you're going to order a negative for somebody, something bad to happen, be mindful that the deliverer of such thing only knows your address. So guess what? Be careful of what you hope for because it's going to come back and hit you. Who's in charge of your karma? You are. Why don't you just turn it off? Well, just don't do it in the first place. Hey, Josh, resentment, Christianity, telling me what to do. Well, as a child, you learn from your parents, you know, what to do, what not to do. Do this, do that, based on their teachings. I was raised in a very Christian home till maybe early teens. And we had to follow certain rules. Do I have resentment? No, that's a waste of time. That's carrying a pitchfork, you're carrying a big old heavy load on your back. My advice has always been to let it go. But thank you for psychoanalyzing what you feel is my resentment. No, I'm just saying, hey, wake up to spirituality, and this is what we talk about. Do I resent anything? You weren't listening to the first part of the show when I said I don't really have hate for a lot of things. I don't like the cold, but that's another story. And here's the thing, I don't even know what resentment is, because I know what's behind me is no more. Okay. How to live, right? That's what Fisher wanted to talk about. You want to tell people how to live, and you want to tell them or guide them and give them a way through life. You can't really do that because you don't know their purpose. You don't know where they're supposed to go. And you may see somebody who you think is hurting, and this is just your interpretation of what hurt would be. You're probably saying if you're in that situation, you'd probably be hurting like a mother. However, you don't know that person's purpose, and you try to guide them into your camp. It's not the same. If it was going to happen or should have happened, he would have showed up attached to you, and you guys would call yourself Siamese twins. Other than that, he, that snowflake that is totally different, made up of the same element, but has its own print or whatever, is got his right or its right to live his life his way. And for us to jump in and intervene thinking we're helping, are we? And can you prove that? And you think they're on drugs and it's just bad? What if they're on drugs to escape something, the reality, which is worse? They're on drugs. It looks bad. But for them, it's an easement because their reality that they're trying to escape from is worse. You remember seeing all those people jumping off the tower, the towers in New York, and I don't want to touch on that. However, they didn't jump because they felt frisky. They were jumping because that was their only option. For us on the outside looking at it, thinking, oh my Lord, why would they be doing that? Well, you need to be in their shoes to truly understand. And if you're going to try to help somebody, you need to be in their shoes to truly understand. Sometimes jumping gives you an option. And if you're trying to escape from somewhere, it's not fair. You have to figure out why are we trying to escape. And that's usually what an artificial stimulation does to our bodies. We get away from something. We go to the bar, we go to the meth lab, or we go to the backyard and burn a spliff. Okay, so that didn't happen. So my point being is that you don't know that person's shoes and you can't really determine whether or not they are doing bad. It looks bad, but it only looks bad to you. Ask the person who's doing it if they're able to explain. And you know, when they hit the low point of the let's say drug abuse or alcohol, that doer, that observer that's with you kicks in and said, okay, let's do this. A lot of people call that the voice of God, and they've hit the low point. You know, you've been on drugs and you've hit the bottom, because that's where you have to go before the intervention happens with you and your duality. You have to hit the bottom before they react. People call it the voice of God. No, it's just you talking to yourself. Okay, so that's how the shows went. The pineal gland show, yes, I definitely will do a show on it next week. And what not necessarily next week, but I will do a show on it. And I will advertise to those who are interested in that, that we will be doing the show. It's fascinating. And it talks about all the wonderful things in our brain and our bodies that we don't get to talk about a lot, or we just take other people's opinion. I don't want you to do that for a second. I want you to open the door, step in, and get your own fresh loaf of bread, your own information, your own everything that's pertaining to your life and your lifestyle, because your dance is going to be different than mine, or your alcohol drink is going to be different than mine, if you should have one. But it does stimulate the same part of the body, doesn't it? So get there and figure it out. And live the life that you're supposed to live. So, thank you very much for enjoying the show and you're taking notes. I'm talking to Elena. And taking notes, yes, but hey, this information is out there for everybody, and I want you to wake up. That's why we do what we do. Just wake up and understand that you don't necessarily need to kill yourself to get to the prize. Because once you get to the prize, you're too broken to enjoy it. You're too broken to enjoy it. When you're walking into a situation in our 20s and our 30s, and we set out this great plan, so when we're in our 60s, we'll enjoy it and live and be happy in all these things. But a lot of us gets broken down before we get there. Physically, financially, emotionally. And if we figure we can't do it financially, and then we get discouraged, you know, maybe that's what we're escaping from, a sense of failure. But is it so? Wake up. Wake up to the reality that you are who you are. Find your best self. Find your best self. And don't think you're going to snap your finger, wake up tomorrow morning, and you're Superman. It's not going to. You're going to have to change a lot of things, a lot of steps. But what I always say is put it in front of you so you know it's coming. Be mindful of the existence so you could work towards it. Take gingerly steps into anything you want to change about your life. You can't take one vitamin and expect to have this abundance of energy if that's what vitamins do. But if you take it long enough, it will take effect. This is how change of life begins. And not to have, just don't give up. Be relentless in your effort. Your energy is telling you to. Go towards your best self. Be consistent in that motion. There is. Do what you normally do. But the more you get involved in spirit, the more you will learn about life. About life. This is what we're trying to tell you. Wake up, everybody. Wake up and enjoy all that there is. Thank you for being a part of the show. We've got a few more minutes left, a couple more minutes, and I want to talk to you about the importance, and I've been saying it all the show, about the meditation. Call it the gateway drug if you want, the new marijuana, but it doesn't get you that high. And it's not illegal. Well, it's probably illegal someplace. But the point being, it will get you to where you want to go. Open up, study your meditation. Learn to understand the best self. Learn to be your best person. You're not an accident. You're not an accident. You're not a throwaway. You're not an extra. You are, this is going to be good, the pineal gland of our existence, every single one of us. But we're going to talk about that in another show. Learn to meditate. Spend some time being you. Adapt the concept of I owe me and give yourself some free time. And you're probably, if you're like me, you're so flipping tired, you don't even remember, let alone having the energy to do it. Well, if that's the case, do it until you fall asleep. Just practice doing it. I thank you all for joining us. Please check out the next repeat of this show Thursday nights at 10 p.m. and the same station here. I appreciate you being there. I respect the fact that you have an opinion that is of your own. It's not necessarily right. Usually it's just your opinion. I want you to honor that. But remember, you don't have the right to influence or try to change another person's life unless they ask you for that such help. Do not look down on your fellow man unless your intention is to help him up. I appreciate your time. Until we meet again, enjoy the rest of your week. Bye-bye.
For listening to Barrington Awaken with your host Barrington right here on Reality Radio 101.